invite you to turn with me to Job 26. Job 26. The title of the message this morning, faith. Because that's what Resurrection Sunday, that's what resurrected life is about. It's about faith. It's about that amazing grace, which by grace, through faith, we attain. Through faith, we attain that amazing grace. Job knew something of that amazing grace. We're starting the 26th chapter. This is a long response, a long speech by Job that will continue all the way through the 31st chapter. In this text, we see that Job begins to profess his faith in Almighty God. Job begins to acknowledge and to recognize what his real problem is. You know, oftentimes, you and me experience challenges, experience hardship, experience the pains of life, and we have friends like these friends that Job had that want to try to diagnose our problem for us. They're looking from the outside, but what we're experiencing is inward. It's on the inside. They look from the outside and they say, well, this is your problem or that's your problem. But the reality is you and you alone and Almighty God knows your real problem. Men, women, friends can try their best to discern what your real problem is, but only God and you know the real problem. These friends, they've been attacking him. They've been assuming what the problem was. And now Job responds. He responds by showing them that their words are useless and pointing to the Creator and the power and majesty of that Creator. Let's look at verses 1 through 4. As we hear from Job about the useless words of these friends. But Job answered and said, how hast thou helped him that is without power? And how sayest thou the arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? And how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? To whom hast thou uttered words? And whose spirit came from thee. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. We thank you. Lord, we thank you that when others don't know our problem, when we don't quite yet know the fullness of the problem, that you, in your sovereignty, know the problem. Lord, there's many today who want to address felt needs. There's many today who, under the guise, behind the mask of Christianity, want to address external issues. Want to go about cleaning the outside of the cup, the bowl, the dish, all the while the inside remains full of cursing and bitterness. Lord, your call today is the same as it was in the time of the apostles and the prophets, same as it was in the time of Job. You call us to profess faith in you and in you alone. You call us to peel back the layers of the onion, to get past the useless words and the assumptions. Recognize that we are your creatures, created for your glory. created to glorify you and to enjoy you forever. Lord, we pray that as we do each week, remember the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. We pray that you would call our attention to our own hearts and minds and lives. Lord, shine the light of your gospel upon us, showing us those areas that are displeasing to you, calling us to confession, to repentance, and to acknowledge Jesus as Lord in the hidden places, in the areas that we want to cover up. In your name we pray. Amen. Job calls out Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz. He says, you've said many things that were good, but they don't have answers, and you don't, and you didn't help me. Think about what Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz has done so far. Is there truth in that what they've said? Absolutely. They have made some very generalized statements. If it wasn't for the specifics of Job's life and experiences and circumstances, we would say that they were offering good things. But which do you and me want in life? Do we want the good or do we want the great? Do we accept the good in exchange for the great? Or do we try to move past those generalized statements and reach forth to the greatness of our God and King? They didn't answer the question as to why Job was suffering. They had their assumptions. They had their ideas. They had their theories. But they never answered the question, why was Job suffering? Each of us in this room have suffered in the course of our lives. And those around you and me have offered ideas and theories and assumptions. But how many times have those ideas, those theories, those assumptions been wrong? People may have said good things. People may have even said things because they loved you, because they cared about you. But they never got to the root issue of why you were suffering. Bildad, last week we looked for Friday. I'm sorry. I just preached Friday. Bildad on Friday finally had the right question. He finally had the right question. But he still had no answer. At least Bildad was coming to a place where there was a breakthrough in his life. Where are you? Where are you with regard to your issue? Where are you with regard to your doubts? Where are you with regard to your circumstances? Where are you with regard to your experience? Are you still looking at the externals?
No.
Or have you come to the right question? At least if you have the right question, you're on the right path. At least if you have the right question, you know where to go for the right answer. Who's been helped by the talk so far? Job surely hasn't. Job surely has not been helped by the talk so far. Because they've been talking past him. They've been putting him down. And now Job begins his response his lengthy response and moves to the subject of creation and God as the Creator. When you don't know where else to go, let's go to the Word of God. When you don't know where else to go, go to the source, go to the creation, and God as your Creator. Because who knows you better than the one who wove you together? The Creator is powerful and He is majestic. Psalm 139, verse 7 through 12. Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? David says, where can I go that I can get away from your spirit? Where can I go that I can run away from you? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Wow. Just stop right there and wrap your mind around that. David says what? If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. How many times have we heard that hell is the absence of God's presence? We've heard that a lot. But what really is hell? Hell's not the absence of God's presence. Hell is the absence of God's favorable presence. What does the New Testament, how does the New Testament describe hell? It's the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's the place where men will cry out all day long throughout eternity, cursing God. So it's as though God is not present there, but His favorable presence is not there. Even if one would choose to make their bed in hell, behold, God is there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. God is powerful, and He is majestic. He is the Creator of everything. And He even created a place like hell for those who would choose to continue rearing their fist to Him in cursing and in bitterness. Proverbs 15:11 says, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened up to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. So once you finally get past the good things that people say, the general statements, once you get past those things that have no meaning to Job and have no meaning to you and me, once you get past the helpless, useless talk, once you get back to the source of the creation and God as the Creator, then you come to the place where the Word can have an effect in your life. You come to the place where the Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word and the Word alone is able to cut through and slice through the layers of the onion of your life. Getting to the very root of the issue, the cause. God reached out in space. Let's look there at verses 5 to 14. Dead things are formed from under the waters, and the inhabitants thereof. Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. He holdeth back the face of his throne, and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bounds, until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens, his hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? Think about creation. God reached out in space. Have you ever looked up at the night sky? Have you ever looked up at the stars that are hung there in the sky, the moon and the planets? God reached out in space and he covered it with those galaxies and stars and planets. Indeed, the Lord can cover the empty space. The Lord can cover the empty space. You and me can try to fill empty spaces. There's a lot of things in this life that you and me will try to cover the empty spaces of life with, but only the Lord can cover the empty space. Just as he covers the night sky, he can cover the empty space in your life. Space is a creation of God. Here's a star. Over yonder is another star. And God put space between them. Turn with me to Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. What do we see that does not belong to the Lord? Everything you see. Indeed, remember what Paul said in Romans 1. You cannot look out at the creation and deny that there is a God. You cannot look in the mirror and deny there is a God. Psalm 104. Psalm 104, the second part of verse 1 to verse 4. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who covers thyself with light as with a garment? Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain? Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters? Who maketh the clouds his chariot? Who walketh upon the wings of the wind? Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire? There's nothing that you and me look at and behold that's not from God. God created space to hold heavenly bodies. Indeed, space is like a lubricant that he uses to keep the stars, the planets, and the galaxies from crashing into one another. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Think about what Paul's saying now. He's persuaded neither death nor life, There are things that me and you take part in this life that lead to death. But if we're believers, if we've acknowledged Him as Lord, not even death can separate us. Nor life can separate us. We can't fill ourselves so much with the enjoyments of this life that it separates us. Angels, principalities, powers, nor things present, that's time. Time cannot separate. How many times have you heard people, I don't have time to attend worship. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to pray. Time cannot separate you from God. If you are genuinely a believer in Jesus, if you genuinely acknowledge Jesus as Lord, if you genuinely confess your sin in repentance and faith, surrendering Him as Lord, then time itself cannot separate you, nor things to come. That's the future. So time nor the future can separate you from the love of God. If you say, I don't have time to read the Bible, I don't have time to pray, I don't have time to read God's Word, your priorities are all mixed up. Because God gave every single one of us the same 24 hours in a day. He gave every single one of us the same 7-day week. You have time to do other things. You have time to do the things that you want to do. Time will not separate you from God. The future. We worry about so many things. But one thing is needed. Mary chose the good part. Will you choose the good part? What's the good part? Spending time with your Lord. Nor height, nor depth. That's space. It's space. Nor depth. You cannot go high enough up into the heavens or deep enough into the ocean that you can separate yourself from your Creator. Indeed, you go out into space and you have to acknowledge that there is a God. Yeah, there are folks who are so-called atheists that claim that they don't believe in God. But most of them really aren't being truthful. Because if they were really truthful, they would at least acknowledge that they don't know. Because in order for you to be able to claim to be an atheist, you have to know everything about every single subject on the planet and in the universe, and then come to that conclusion that there is no God. But who can do that? If you know everything about everything, then guess what? Then you are God, and you've just defeated your own argument that there is no God. Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nor any other creature is literally nor any other created thing. Space is one of God's creations. The expanse between the earth and the moon is something. It's great. It's far. It seems impossible. But those aboard Apollo 11 made the impossible possible when they landed on the moon. We call it space. God created it, and it is serving His purpose. Indeed, everything that is made is serving the Lord's purpose. I want you to think about what Job has said here. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, hangeth the earth upon nothing. He bindeth the waters in thick clouds, and holdeth back the face of His throne, spreadeth His clouds upon it. encompass the waters for bounds until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. Who told Job these things? Job is a man who lived in the age of the patriarchs, in the age of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who told him that this earth is just simply hanging in space? Yet Job recognized that God suspends this huge ball of earth in space with nothing to support it but his own fixed laws. That truth was unknown to ancient astronomers. Those ancients who looked up and studied the stars could not discern that of their own, but Job makes that statement that God placed the earth just hanging here with nothing to support it but God's own fixed laws. Job had a tremendous view of God as the creator. Job knew who God was. Job knew of God's power and his majesty and his sovereignty. Do you? Do you know God's power and sovereignty and majesty? Do you know of his creative work? Do you acknowledge his creator status? God garnished the heavens, what we see in verses 13 and 14. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how a little portion is heard of him. For the thunder of his power, who can understand? God garnished the heavens. That reference to the crooked serpent is probably a reference to a constellation. Much like we would make a reference to the Big Dipper, or the Little Dipper, or the Big Bear. When Job says the crooked serpent, he's probably talking about a constellation of stars. Job is calling attention to the greatness of God as he is revealed in the heavens by his wonderful creation. Job recognizes that you cannot look out and deny God's existence. God is wonderful and powerful and majestic. Psalm 33. Psalm 33, 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together. As a heap he layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Isaiah 27, verse 1. In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that's in the sea. Job knew God as the creator. He understood him, as we've already seen in the book of Job, as redeemer. Remember, Job is living in the time of the patriarchs. The cross hasn't occurred yet. And because the cross hasn't occurred yet, the resurrection hasn't occurred yet. But Job, in those early days of the creation, recognizes God not only as the creator, but also as the redeemer. Because Jesus is what? He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, that would in the fullness of time be the Lamb slain in time. Job did not know God as the sustainer. He knew him as creator and his redeemer. But he did not know him at this point as the sustainer. Do you know God is the one who holds you in the palm of his hand? Do you know God is the one who orchestrates the circumstances and the events of your life even before you were born? even before you took your first breath, even before you were conceived by your mother and your father, God orchestrated and purposed your days. And He has sustained you from your conception and will continue to sustain you until your death. Do you know Him as your sustainer? Do you know Him as the rock on whom you stand? On the rock on whom your foundation is set. Job, at this point, didn't know Him as sustainer. He didn't know Him as the one who loved him. Creator, yes. Redeemer, yes. But you and me know Him not only as Creator, Redeemer, but as sustainer and the one who loves you and me. How much did He love us? He loved you and me this much. He stretched forth His hands and He said, "It is finished." Literally, the words that are recorded in the New Testament are tetelestai. And I believe that Jesus yelled it with every ounce of energy He had left in that final moment as He said, "Tetelestai, it is finished." Job did not understand that God would not let anything happen to him unless it would minister to him. At this point in Job's life, he did not understand that God would not let anything happen to him unless it would minister to him. But you and me have the full counsel, the whole counsel of the Word of God. Turn with me to Romans 8:28. You and me know, for we have God's Word, that that which happens in our lives happens for His purposes, for His glory, and God will minister to us through those events and circumstances. Romans 8:28, 29, and 30. Paul writes, "And we know." Stop it. What do we know? What do we know? A lot of people will go from "and we know" to "that all things work together for good." But the "and we know" points backward. And we know what? We know that likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The Spirit helps you through your sin. The Spirit helps you through your doubt. The Spirit helps you through moments of depression and anger. The Spirit helps you through moments of confusion. The Spirit helps you when life gets you down. The Spirit helps you when it seems that life is caving and crashing in. We know not what we should pray for as well. How many times in your life have you been at that place where you knew you needed to pray, but you couldn't put the words together? You knew within you that there was a problem. But you couldn't articulate it. You couldn't put it into words. In that moment, God was right there with you. And He was using that moment for your glory. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Then we come to verse 28. And we know that because of what we just read, that all things work together to them that love for that all things work together for good to them that love God. Has everything that happened in your life been good? Has everything that's happened in your life been holy and pure and righteous? No, absolutely not. Have there been some detrimental things happen in your life. Have there been moments when you should have died? It doesn't say that everything's been good. It says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Who are the called? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, then He also called. Whom He called, then He also justified. And if He justified, then He also glorified. Where is your faith this morning? Where is your faith this morning? Is your faith built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? Or is your faith built on the things around you? The things that you can see. The things that you can touch. The things that you can hear. Unless your faith is built on the solid rock, then when the storms of this life happen, guess what's going to happen? The storms of this life are going to batter you. They're going to break you. But if you stand on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, then even the worst storm will not break you. Lord, we pray on this day that we honor, that we commemorate, that we celebrate the resurrection. That we would stake our claims. That our roots would grow deep. In the understanding of our faith. That our roots would grow deep through those moments of doubt and confusion and trials and near death. As our roots grow deep, maybe look back at those things that were not good and see that You use even those things for our good and for Your glory. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We never want to close out a time of worship without giving an invitation. If today you never come to Him in confession and repentance. If today you never acknowledge your own sin and acknowledge Jesus as Lord, talk to somebody that you love, talk to somebody that you trust today. Settle these matters today.